This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bronson James.
Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Armor of God telecast. I'm Bronson James, and I appreciate, as we all do here at the Armor of God, your tuning in to share time with us in the Word of God. Do you suffer from debility of some kind, or perhaps heart problems, diabetes, or some other malady within your body? Or maybe even some mental issues or some psychological concerns. Is God able to even heal you? Today's program is going to be about healing and whether or not it is a reality in God or if it's a fabrication of the fertile imaginations of those people who ostensibly wrote the Word of God, led by the Holy Spirit. Can you count on the things that are written there concerning healing? Can you trust that it can also be visited upon you? Now, I'm a human being just like everyone watching this program, and I've been engaged in ministry for quite a number of years, and I have known of people and seen people healed. I have been involved with the laying on of hands for some of those, and then I've seen others who have not been healed for God's reasons only known to Him. And I've had some situations in my own physical existence, challenges, that I've had to count on God for His intervention to sustain my life and to keep me here active in His work. Can I attribute those things that I personally have experienced to healing, from being restored and given restoration and strength and energy to go on to serve a powerful God? Or was it simply the medical profession? I know of a doctor named Dr. Ben Carson. He is renowned for his ability to do complicated brain surgery on youthful people, as well as other adults when the case might call for it, but he's on the staff at Johns Hopkins Medical Facility in Baltimore, Maryland. And he has a perspective about being used of God as a physician and a surgeon to heal people. He will not perform surgery on a child because parents maybe not have a belief or trust in God. He says, I can't go into an operation where people are thinking that I am God and that I have the power to heal. In fact, I'm only an instrument in His hands. It's a powerful testimony when you think about it, because there are some physicians, you know, who operate on the basis of themselves being godlike, and they walk around and they are very pompous in their stature because they've gone to school and they've committed, you know, several hundreds of thousands of operations, and it's a matter-of-fact thing that I am good and I am great, and look at all of the people I have saved. I mean, if you call them anything less than doctor, then they would take umbrage with that. But in fact, there is a God who does heal, and the Word of God establishes that that is true. We're going to examine some scriptures about that today, so that you can make application in your own lives, because if you are wanting to access healing from Almighty God, there is a way for you to accomplish that. But first, I want to share with you the material that we're offering in today's program. The booklet is entitled The Miracle of Healing. Very piquant and insightful booklet that I think you should have. But also, it is accompanied by a sermon tape and or CD by Charles Gross entitled God's Hand in Healing, Both of them can be yours absolutely free when you dial toll-free 1-888-578-8791 or hit us up on our website at www.cgi.org. Both of these pieces of material are yours absolutely free when you make contact with us and just reference today's program entitled God's Hand in Healing, and we'll get that right off to you as soon as we receive your request. Healing, what an interesting subject. And many people long for healing. That's why people make journeys to certain waters, and there are people who visit shrines and places where they believe if you're in the proximity of an established shrine dictated or dedicated so by a church entity, then you will receive healing. They believe in doing all kinds of things, eating only certain things. There are people who are vegetarians who believe that will put you closer to God. And there are those who visit the medical profession and suggest that they are all instruments in God's hands. I would question whether they all are, but many of them are dedicated in God's way. That is, they have dedicated themselves to be servants of God, to take the knowledge that they have acquired in order to bring healing to the body, but giving credit and honor to Almighty God for the usefulness of them as instruments in His hands. When we talk about healing, the Bible is clear on this, especially in the New Testament. You find in the book of Matthew in the 4th chapter, this is after Jesus Christ has come out of the wilderness and the temptation with Jesus Christ, and He has called some of His disciples together. There's a statement made in verse 23 of Matthew, the 4th chapter, that I want to underscore for us today in this discussion about healing. And it says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee." By the way, Nazareth was north in Galilee, and that's where He began His ministry, in the area of Galilee, before He ever came down to Judea, where Jerusalem was. "So Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel," that means good news of the kingdom, "and this third thing, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people." Wow. Now I must say to you that the people were pretty excited when Jesus showed up. This should cause you to ask the question, were there no healings before Jesus came about? Did John the Baptist, for instance, heal people by praying for them? Or was that only in the arena or the purview of Jesus Christ Himself? Well, we're going to discover some scriptures that indicate that the disciples also were to provide healing or perform healings and praying for people, always knowing that it was Almighty God who was doing it, but they would be instrumentalities in the hand of Almighty God to accomplish it. So Jesus did these three things. He was a teacher, He was a preacher, and He was a healer. And all manner of diseases. Now, I believe all means all. You may be experiencing something in your own life that the doctors have given up on you. And is it possible for God to heal even you in your circumstance of life? As I said, I've known people. I know of a gentleman who's a very good friend of mine. I met him approximately 10 or 11 years ago in Houston, Texas. And at the time, he was employed in an athletic business, which required him to be energetic and full of strength, and he had been a bodybuilder and an athlete himself. And at that point of his life, he found that he was lacking energy. He was suffering from hypoglycemia. I think that's the low blood sugar one. Yeah, hypoglycemia. And his energy was just dissipated. He just didn't feel that he could even continue functioning in his craft, in his trade. And when I met him, he invited me to stay at his home, and we became good friends. We did a lot of talking and sharing from the Word of God. And when it was time for me to leave for the airport to catch my plane home back to Detroit, I was living in Detroit at that time, now I remember it, he asked for me to pray for him and anoint him with oil. And we knelt down, and the only oil available in the house, normally we use olive oil for that, kind of ritual, but all that was in the house was a cooking oil. And oil is just representative of the Holy Spirit, and so it didn't matter what kind of oil, and it really didn't matter that I used the oil. It didn't matter if I laid hands on him. It really didn't. There are some prescriptions in the Scripture that show us a methodology, but God seems sometimes to operate outside of that, as we'll see in the Scriptures here in a moment. But in that circumstance, we knelt down and we prayed. He called me once I got back to Detroit, and over a process of a few weeks, when his energy returned supernaturally, because the doctors had all been prescribing things for him to deal with the low blood sugar circumstance. But he was restored back to health. Now, maybe that's not as dramatic as someone who's been given up for dead because the big C, cancer, has entered into their lives, or multiple sclerosis, or something that we can definitely understand, or a person who has been blind from birth, or crippled. Those are rather dramatic circumstances. But who can see hypoglycemia? After all, here is a big bodybuilder. He seemed like he was strong. But to him, it was a reality. And God intervened in that circumstance. Not to my credit. I was only an instrument. And God gets the glory for it. But you should know and be encouraged that you can access the same power, for Jesus Christ says that we can obtain it. In fact, He laid down his life. He suffered a brutal act upon him, that his body was broken, the Scripture says, so that by his stripes we are healed. It stretches back into antiquity and even down to our day, that we can access the power of healing from Almighty God. Now, I'd like to go to Luke, the 4th chapter, because this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. It's when Jesus Christ goes back to his hometown of Nazareth, and he goes in to the synagogue. This is Luke, the 4th chapter, and verse 16. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him a scroll, or a book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. This is in Isaiah 61, beginning in verse 1. And this is what Jesus Christ read in the hearing of those in his hometown. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Remember what we read in Matthew 4 and verse 23, how he was teaching and preaching and healing? Here's what he says. "He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Oh, so healing is not merely a physical circumstance, but a brokenhearted person, what a terrible sight. When someone is crushed down and their spirit is beaten down, and they're brokenhearted from love, unrequited perhaps, or mistreatment by someone you love, like a parent towards a child, or a child towards a parent, or perhaps just on the job. Our hearts can be broken when we get that pink slip, you know, that says your employment opportunities have been increased. We can have broken hearts for a lot of reasons. But God says through Jesus Christ that he is to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind. Now, I know this is a metaphor for the kind of blindness we experience in life, not necessarily the physical blindness, but we do know, don't we, that in the Scriptures, Jesus actually healed people who were blind physically. But there's a spiritual blindness that he also has the acumen to heal. "To set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Look at what Jesus Christ says his ministry was about. And if his ministry was about that, his disciples, his followers, his students would also be engaged in that kind of activity of healing, of bringing to mind those things that are necessary to accomplish the healing in people. You know, the power of healing was so substantial in the book of Acts There's an example from the life of the Apostle Paul. It's an astounding example, and sometimes on television, offers are made that we'll send you this blessed cloth or this anointed cloth, and you can use it, place it on the affected part of your body, or to pray to God for it. Well, that's right out of the Bible. It's not a strange thing. We provide anointed cloths that have been prayed over by the ministers in Tyler, Texas. And I anticipate from this program that some of you will be engaged in making phone calls or sending letters to Tyler in order to make your prayer request known for your situation. But here's a startling example of the power of God in healing. In chapter 19 of the book of Acts, in verse 11, it says, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul." Now, every human being who's engaged in praying for someone and laying hands upon them have to be grounded by this reality. That is not them that is doing the healing. They are only servants. They are only instruments in the hands of Almighty God. And through the human hands and through the laying on of hands, God accomplishes his task. But look at this further example. "So that from his body," from Paul's body, "were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them." Wow. Is that possible? Or is that kind of a ritual or a rigmarole or some kind of hanky-panky, if you will? Is it real? Is it possible that someone could pray in a distant place over cloths that have been anointed with oil, the way we do it in Tyler, Texas? And I participated in that activity when I lived in Tyler, where we would assemble the ministry together and anoint these cloths that would then be inserted in letters as they are requested and sent out to people who were concerned about their health. And as a result, we receive confirmation from a number of them of God's healing visit upon them. But you know, sometimes we should consider this. If you're wondering why you might not be healed, besides God's timing not be there for you, sometimes, as Paul, who prayed himself that the thorn in his flesh would be removed, and God says, "No, my grace is sufficient for you." And he did not perform that request for Paul on those occasions, the three times he prayed about it. So maybe God chooses not to heal you for his purposes, which you then must come to ascertain what that might be. But if you have cancer, lung cancer particularly, and you want to be healed from it, and you continue to smoke, maybe you ought to rethink that habit before asking for God to do or to facilitate your continuation in that which causes you difficulty. We do know that smoking causes lung cancer, don't we? Or perhaps we just eat any old thing we want to and we're overweight. We have diabetes because we love sugar and we're just addicted to it. And so we continue hoping for God to heal us for this diabetes so we can get off the insulin and get off the medication and all that. But we continue to do the thing that makes and exacerbates our circumstance. You can't do that, my friends. You must begin to do things to order your steps in the way of the Lord so that he can visit you and bless you in healing. The Bible tells us in the book of Exodus that he is the one who heals us. He told that to the ancient Israelite, "I am the God who heals you. I am Yahweh Rapha. I am the one who heals." And you must have confidence in that reality. But now, let me go on. Quickly, I want to go to the book of, 2 Kings. Yes, 2 Kings in the Old Testament, because I think there's something here that we can learn. God was not only healing in the New Testament, but all the way back in the Old Testament. I'm going to make the story short. It's in the 5th chapter. It's about a Syrian named Naaman. And Naaman had leprosy, but he was very special to the king of Syria. And the king of Syria sends a letter to the king of Israel and says, "No, my servant Naaman is sick, and I hear there's a prophet over there." And it's interesting that by testifying sometimes, we can share with people the reality of God's power. And it was a little maid who was a servant to the king. She was the servant to Naaman's wife. And she mentioned to Naaman's wife, oh, if Naaman could be where the prophet of God is, then the prophet of God can cause him to recover, or he could be cured of this leprosy. Now, leprosy, you know, was on a par with what we call HIV/AIDS today, where it's incurable. And people had to go through life, if they had leprosy, in isolation, and if they were to come down a public street, they had to cry out, unclean, unclean, so that people would be warned, so they would not come in contact with and contract this kind of disease. Yet, God has the power, illustrated in the life of Naaman, to heal him. Now, when Naaman showed up, the prophet Elisha didn't even come out to meet him. So when I suggest to you that you don't necessarily need the laying on of hands or oil to effect a healing, because God is able to do it without all of that instrumentality, but he does use those instrumentalities to make the human connection with us through his power. But in the case of Naaman, the message comes out to him, well, all right, you want to be healed, why don't you go dip 7 times in the Jordan River? Well, Naaman was like, what? First of all, you disrespected me. You didn't even come out to face me. I thought you'd at least come out and see me, this prophet, to see who you are. And then you tell me to go wash in that dirty Jordan River. We've got a couple of rivers over in Syria that are far superior to that river. And he went off in a huff, as many of us do sometimes when we pray one time for God to do something and he doesn't do it the first time. We get disappointed with him and we go off in a huff. But a servant of Naaman said to him, now, if he had asked you to do some difficult thing, you would have done it. So maybe you need to rethink it. And Naaman rethought it and did go and dip 7 times in the Jordan River. And the leprosy was cured. Now, I know you're saying, that's just an old wives' tale. That's one of those things, those stories they concocted when they were sitting around in the cave smoking on something, you know, and they just kind of went out of their heads. Well, here are the scriptures, and if they are inspired of God, you should receive confirmation of the reality. It says, he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and the flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Later on in this same book, in the 20th chapter, we have a king named Hezekiah. And Hezekiah was told by the prophet Isaiah, get your house in order, for God has told me to tell you, you're going to die. And you know what Hezekiah did? He turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech you, O Lord, remember how I have walked before you in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Sometimes you've got to shed some tears. Now, is God moved by your tears? Yes, he is. For he is a father who loves his children. And many of us go through things where sometimes we need to turn everything over to him. And that's what Hezekiah did. And before Isaiah could leave the courtyard, the scripture says, God spoke to Isaiah and said, turn around and go back and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus says the Lord God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer and I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add unto your days 15 years. Friends, God responds to our needs and our requests. There's so much more I wish to share with you about this, but just let you know, in Mark the 16th chapter and verse 18, there's a statement there, one of the signs that would follow the disciples, those who were representative of Christ, with that they would lay hands on the sick and they would recover. But look finally as we leave today's program. In the book of James, there's a prescription here. It's a standard by which we should operate when we are going to God and making a request for healing. It's a very simple format. In the 5th chapter of James, it says, if any among you, is any among you afflicted, let him pray. That's something you can do. Is any married? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and he, if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. I'm reminded of a woman named Mrs. Runcorn who came to visit Loma Dillon Armstrong, the wife of Herbert W. Armstrong, when they were not in the church. They were not involved in church activity. And she simply asked Mrs. Armstrong, "May I pray for you?" And Mrs. Armstrong, who was near death, acquiesced. And the rest is history. She was raised up from her deathbed and had more children after that circumstance. My friends, I'm telling you that the power of healing rests in God. You must awaken your mind to that understanding and call toll-free for the material offer. We'll see you here next time on The Armor of God.
Medical science does indeed provide modern 21st century man with many benefits. Today's technologies are second to none, and many medical procedures are simply just modern marvels. But as beneficial as modern medicine is, unfortunately, it is often viewed in conflict with God's healing. Is this true? Is seeing a doctor or using hospital services somehow a form of idolatry? Or is it possible they can complement each other? Won't you let us help you to understand the relationship between hospitals and God's healing? Call now 888-578-8791 and ask for the free offers, The Miracle of Healing, and a one-hour tape available also on CD, God's Hand in Healing. Dial now 888-578-8791, and friends, we here at the Armor of God would like to remind you to keep on that whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand in that evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. Exploring current global conditions along with the latest social trends, the Armor of God asks the question, what are the solutions to our broken world? Right here every week, new perspectives are presented for your consideration by our commentators. The Armor of God challenges you to be vigilant in your outlook and understanding of this world in these tumultuous times. Don't miss this week's program.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.